T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning.
Israel has the right to defend itself.
Their coalition now includes people who are overt racists.
The election was not stolen. It is governed state by state.
Ultimately, those who are not vaccinated will end up paying the price.
I'm going to continue to wear a mask in public.
We're just not ready yet.
I just don't understand what the problem is with him.
Yeah, so the rockets continue to fall over in Israel this morning, just in case you're just joining us here on the program. And in the meantime, we've got people like Bernie Sanders trying to cut support, financial support for Israel. We actually have elected officials in this country trying to help the terrorists and Hamas. It's just mind-boggling to the extent to which some of them are willing to go. Welcome back into the show. Glad that you're with us this morning as we continue to fight through the rain. Hopefully your grass is not as deep as mine, because that's going to be a mess when I have to finally get around to cutting it. Maybe Saturday. I keep looking at these forecasts that the meteorologists are putting up, and they're showing a chance of rain the rest of the week.
It's going to be hot this weekend.
Stinks. That's
upper
true.
80s.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
It's about time.
We've got an outdoor like lake party planned, so it'll be like a swimming event. And I'm excited about having a swimming event.
Feels is the like water still a little cold?
You'll definitely need 80 degrees.
Yeah, no right? kidding.
But it feels like the kickoff to summer. We're doing Eddie's birthday party.
It'll oh, nice. Yeah. Happy early birthday, Eddie.
Thank you.
When is his birthday?
The 26th of
May.
Ah,
so it is a little early.
A little
but
early.
Happy birthday to him. That's good.
Cool. Thanks.
So the St. Louis Blues kind of blew it last night.
They
got swarmed by the Avalanche.
They gave up. I fell asleep when it was tied 1-1, so I fell asleep feeful okay. Woke up to 4-1, so it didn't end so well, but yeah, gave up a few in the third period there.
Saw Tom Ackerman out there in the break room a few minutes ago, and he was lamenting the fact that, you know, despite the fact that it was a bad loss because the offense didn't play well at all, he said the defense really let him down, and Bennington did a stellar job.
46 saves.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
And only three of them got through.
Yes.
One of them was an open
was
net
on.
Goal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So those of you who stayed up late watching that are probably kind of bleary-eyed this morning. But they know what they've got to do. The Avalanche are just good. They played him how many times in June? I mean, in May?
Yeah, I don't know.
April or May, they played him like 5 or 6 times. So they knew what they were getting into. Anyway, we'll wish them the best. I don't think they play again until
tomorrow.
Oh, they play again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I was thinking it was Friday.
But tomorrow's even later, 9:30, which means about 9:45, 9:50.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been asleep for an hour and a half at that point. Mm-hmm. I heard
Albert Pujols speak out yesterday on his decision to go to L.A. I think it came down to convenience and an opportunity to play a little more often, just like Tom said yesterday when we talked about this. He's probably not going to get a starting role out there, but
I think he played yesterday, didn't he?
He doesn't have to move or anything.
Yeah, I think he played his. He actually. I mean, he played. They got him, and he played and got a single, I believe. So
good, good. So maybe he'll end up doing well out there. It'll be nice because at some point he'll be in Busch this year, right, with the Dodgers, and we'll get a chance to maybe see him in action. You know, they'll play him when they bring him here.
Of course,
they'll have to play him when they bring him here. Everybody wants to see how he's going to do. Hey, we're keeping an eye on a couple of things this morning for you. If you're just waking up, first of all, one key Supreme Court decision on guns. That is going. It's interesting how the media is playing this, right? The mainstream media is reporting this as the Supreme Court restricting police authority to enter a home without a warrant. That's how NPR is playing the story. Here's the truth of the story. The Supreme Court unanimously defends gun rights. You see the stark contrast there in the headlines. In a gun case, the court limits police power to enter homes without a warrant. And it wasn't some sort of a split decision. It was 9-0 in this particular case. It was an important one because it's probably going to play a role in some of these red flag laws around the country. Lady called police concerned that her husband was going to use a gun to harm himself. He was taken for a psychiatric evaluation, at which point they found there was nothing wrong with him. By the time he got back home, his guns had been confiscated. And he sued him over, basically a Fourth Amendment violation, and he won. He lost in a lower court, and the Supreme Court smacked him down and said, you can't do this. So it's going to have some long-term implications on that. And the same day, they agreed to take on an abortion case this fall, which is going to be very interesting. And it sparked some interesting comments by the White House yesterday. Where oddly enough, even though there's no indication that a decision in this would overturn Roe v. Wade, the White House spoke out and said that no matter what, the Biden administration is committed to codifying Roe versus Wade. I'm not sure what that means. It's either the Supreme Court would overturn it or it wouldn't. I'm not sure how they would codify that. But they're going to hear that case in the fall, and we won't even get a decision for a year. My suspicion is it will spark more discussion on court packing by the left, because that's if they try to force that through or could force it through, those are changes they could probably make. In time for that decision to be heard. So we'll talk more about that coming up. Jimmy Failla is going to join us next, host of Fox Across America, then the Speaker Tim Jones, the bottom of the hour. Back in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
If you've ever suspected that all the creepy people know each other, it may be true. We're learning more tonight about Bill Gates' relationship with Jeffrey Epstein.
Ooh. Ah, that's just weird. That one was weird. And he's getting marital advice from Epstein, of all people. Come on. Give me a break. Hey, let's check in with Jimmy Failla joining us this morning, host of a Fox Across America. Jimmy, welcome back.
Yo, Mark. That, wow, what a story. I mean, who would think the nerd who grew up building computers in his garage would need help meeting women, you know? Crazy.
He went to the expert on that one, didn't he?
Holy heck. Did he ever. That's a I want to say really quick, this could be just some brilliant lawyering by Melinda Gates' attorney. Because you know how they say, like, in stand-up comedy, you don't open with your closer. What that means is you don't tell your best joke first because you'll never follow it. But when it comes to divorcing a guy worth $192 billion, you absolutely open with your closer because you're trying to get the biggest, quickest settlement you can.
Yeah.
So who knows what to think? But nothing would surprise me because Bill Gates, by all accounts, is a bit of a dirtbag.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Gates, although it's spelled differently, the long knives are out for Matt Gates, I noticed yesterday. Holy cow.
Oh, are they? Are they ever? He's been on my show quite a bit. I will say this. You know, I'm able to separate the art from the artist. I love him as a radio interview. He does play a lot of loose ball. I am amazed by the double standard, which is that, of course, the Democrats, you know, if you're accused of doing cocaine with escorts and you're a Republican, you're in trouble. But if you're accused of doing cocaine with escorts and you're a Democrat, you're in Biden's family. You know, you're Hunter Biden. Hey, yeah. Write a book about it. We love you. Who needs a hug? You know?
I've seen the pictures. It's pretty amazing. They continue to amaze. The mainstream media just ignores it. That's the amazing thing about it. I just can't believe it.
Me neither. And I feel bad because I don't think people realize if they're on the left, my show, Fox Across America, it's a pretty inclusive show. We really do try to talk to both sides because I want to see the country do well. Yeah. And I don't think it can do well when we're as hyper-partisan as we are. But I think the media is failing the left, too, because it doesn't benefit them to have idiots in power who go unchecked. But that's very much what's going on right now. So if anybody's listening in the media right now, I don't know, maybe try something different today and do your job, you know?
You know, I think we should hire Prince Harry as a consultant to the U.S. government on the First Amendment.
Oh, that's funny. The only problem with hiring this guy as a consultant is he has to consult his wife on everything he says. So we might not have the budget because you need two consultants under the plan you just proposed.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, when he was talking about freedom of speech, I said this to Harris Faulkner yesterday, he doesn't have freedom of speech in his own marriage. Like, who is he to weigh in on freedom of speech? You've seen those interviews where he's sitting with Oprah and he keeps turning over to Megan to, like, make sure everything's okay before he opens his mouth. It looks like an ISIS hostage video, Mark. Come on, man.
I just don't. He said he's confused by the First Amendment. What is so confusing about it?
Honestly, I mean this, and I haven't heard it said anywhere else, but if you're going to have a brilliant revelation, you talk to Mark Cox, okay? And I mean this. I don't think, because I've listened to that clip so many times now, I don't think initially he knew what the First Amendment was, and rather than admitting it, he was talking in the abstract. He goes, it's bonkers. He goes, it can be exploited just as much for what's not said as much as for what is said, which sounds like he's talking about speech laws, but it's not, because he's specifically referring to the content of the law, and I don't know that he knows what it was. I honestly think he might have even confused it with the Second Amendment, and it would make sense, because if I would be married to Meghan Markle, I'd be thinking about guns and shooting myself, too. So who knows? Who knows?
That's funny. You know, Jimmy, this weekend I went down to the University of Missouri here and watched my son graduate. Now, in my mind, he was a senior in college and is now a graduate. But some schools don't like that because it's not politically correct.
Could you imagine the Penn State banning gender-specific language? But meanwhile, Penn State, by the way, they play in the Big Ten. So are they going to change the conference to the plus-size 10 to be more accommodating to that phraseology? It's the stupidest thing in the world, number one. Like, everyone's entitled to their language reworking. I'm fine with that. My real issue with it on a substantive level is they should absolutely have the right to call themselves whatever they want. They shouldn't have the right to force that on the rest of us. You know, we shouldn't all have our language erased to accommodate a small minority of the population. We should allow them to do what they want. And now I will tell you this, selfishly, just so we're on the same page, Mark, my real investment in this is music. Do you know what's going to happen to music if we've got to rework all of these songs? You know, it's like When a Man Loves a Woman is now When a Person Loves a Person, or, you know, I Saw They Standing There, or Stand By Your Partner. This is unbearable. What happens to Maneater by Hall & Oates, Mark?
I don't know.
What happens? Oh, here they come. Watch out them. They'll chew you up. You know, like that. I don't have much of a voice. It's the morning, but you get it. They're a them eater. Who wants to hear that song? Not me.
Nobody wants to hear that stuff. Jimmy, thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure having you on.
The best. We'll do it again soon.
All right.
St. Louis. Be good.
All right.
See you,
Jimmy Failla, host of Fox Across America, weekdays from 11 to 2 Central. Think about the impact on music, but he's absolutely right. We get a lot of non-politically correct things out there.
Oh, yeah.
Why is calling somebody a sophomore man-centric? I don't get that.
By that.
Why
I
did
know.
Penn State need to do that? That's just silly season. Hey, Speaker Tim Jones coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We'll kick around some of these changes by the legislature, including the tax increase on gas. How about that? Plus, in other news at 6:48, and we're going to do Todd Pyro at around 7:10. We'll be right back.
Fire that sucker off.
And the evil one crept up and slipped away with her.
That's my false setup.
Bad and bougie.
Uh-huh.
Tim, late in my show yesterday, right near the end of it, we got the news that the Supreme Court is going to hear a big abortion case. I'm assuming that you've read the story by now, and it looks to me like this could be one of those cases that those of us who are pro-life have kind of been waiting for.
Oh, absolutely, Mark. And first of all, hey, isn't it great to have all this breaking news, because Joe Biden's sure not doing anything newsworthy.
So no, at least, of course not.
At least we have many, many, many other things to talk about and people need to know about. It's why they need to always listen to your show to know about these things. But yeah, Mark, big news. And boy, I'll tell you what, anytime you even whisper the words Roe v. Wade, the left-wing liberal lunatics start lighting their hair on fire. And they're going to be like, see, Amy Coney Barrett. Oh, that horrible woman. You know, I mean, you know, the liberals, Mark, they always praise certain special interest groups only if they're following in their path. Right. Amy Coney Barrett, incredible jurist, incredible lady leader. But of course, she gets short shrift, no shrift or bad shrift from the liberals because she dares to be a woman conservative. Right. So she doesn't count. But she could make the difference, Mark, in this court. Let's remember, you know, the liberals think this is a 6-3 conservative court. Well, it always depends on which way Chief Justice John Roberts sways with the wind, right? Yeah. And which cocktail parties he wants to get invited to in D.C. But, Mark, we have a rather strong 5-4 conservative majority with Amy Coney Barrett. So, you know, Mark, the thing that's going to come out, I'm going to predict this right now, court packing is going to be back in the headlines really soon, because God forbid that elections have consequences. You know, the liberals never want to live by the electoral consequences when they're on the receiving end of things. They just start talking about changing the rules, right, Mark? They want to talk about court packing. They want to talk about abolishing the electoral college. They think that every congressional seat in the nation that isn't a liberal left-wing lunatic Democrat had to have been gerrymandered or as a result of voter suppression and racism. You know, Mark, you notice how they never want to talk about whether people like or prefer their policies over the policies pushed by common sense conservatives. They always go to the pejorative, don't they? They always go to attacking the messenger. They always go to the personal character assassination, because Americans, Mark, I'm glad to see. I was worried about this after the election. I believe we still are very much a center-right country that doesn't want big government involving itself in every single aspect of our lives. And so this abortion case, very important. They never talk about the rights of the most unwilling victim in the world, right, Mark? The unborn, right? The child in the womb. Never gets talked about what their rights might be. Future great American leaders and also, Mark, what about the devastating effect that abortion has had on the African American world in our nation over the last couple hundred years, right? It's been devastating on that. And liberals seem to, once again, white woke liberals seem to always want to take advantage of that, never discuss those issues. So big case heading to the Supreme Court for the next term. And also, Mark, over the next 6-7 weeks, we're going to get a bunch of hand downs from the last term. And there's some big cases as well. So Supreme Court will definitely be in the news over the next few months,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, very, very valid point there. We'll start hearing about court packing and they'll try to see if they can get it done before this case comes up. Maybe they're going to hear it in the fall. And it concerns an abortion law passed in Mississippi back in 2018
yes.
that bars abortions after 15 weeks. Yep. Right now, they're not allowed to do that until 22 weeks or later, according to what the current law is down there. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what nature, you know, between that and the Second Amendment, next year's promising to be a blockbuster Supreme Court session.
Yes, and Mark, we'll see if Senator Joe Manchin continues to be one of the few individuals who is able to stand between us and left-wing liberal Armageddon.
Oh,
I was very happy to see, Mark, he stuck by his guns last week and said, no, I'm not interested in making Washington, D.C. the 51st state. It was never intended to be. Go read the 23rd Amendment. That was part of the deal. It was always supposed to be the seat of the federal government, not its own state. It wasn't like a state in training or a state to be, or it's going to be on probationary status until we decide it's not. No, it specifically was carved out, I guess, of Virginia or Maryland that area up there to be a protectorate for the federal government, to be the seat of the federal government. And that's what it's supposed to be. If you want to live in a state, then, you know, move out of the 18 square miles surrounded by reality that Washington, D.C. is, and go to one of those other states up there. But it's not supposed to be a state, not meant to be a state. It's just supposed to be the seat of the federal government, period, the end. Glad to see Joe Manchin stand by that, because, Mark, that means perhaps he will live up to his word, which I don't trust the guy at all. But at least he's following through on these things.
Yeah, but you know what I worry about is that I see the other day where he got invited on Air Force Two to go with the First Lady to some event in West Virginia. They gave his wife like $180,000 a year job in the administration to try to woo them. They're doing everything they can to try to influence this man. And quite frankly, he's about the only thing standing between us and sanity. Honestly, Kristen Sinema is the only other one that might be in question.
Yeah, Mark, they're working him hard, aren't they? And, you know, Mark, it's interesting. We do know that despite the fact that these woke left-wing liberals run around all day decrying capitalism and the free market, boy, they sure like the fruits of it, don't they? Just ask Mr. Bernie Sanders, four homes Bernie, right? He's made a deal. He's made a deal with the devil the last couple election cycles to back off of contesting general conventions, right? And he was rewarded for that with a third and fourth home, I believe, or maybe an airplane. I don't know. But, you know, they sure hate capitalism unless they're benefiting from it. And so at some point you wonder if Joe Manchin might crack under the pressure of having a couple zeros added to his personal net worth.
Boy.
So I'm just saying, it just seems like they're working him awfully hard, Mark. And you wonder if at some point he's going to have his price, and then the country is going to pay for it.
Scary stuff. It really is. Talking to Tim Jones, and Tim, I the legislative session ended Friday. My friend and yours, Jim Lemke, who we've both known for many years, put on his personal Facebook page this morning how disappointed he was that both PDMP and a big tax increase were both sponsored by Republicans and passed by a Republican supermajority.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, Mark. You know, the more I've thought about that, the more I've stewed on it, the more I've gotten, it's kind of caused me to grind my teeth. You know, the fact that, you know, I knew that this gas tax thing was going to get pushed really hard, and I kind of knew it was sort of a foregone conclusion when you've got Senate leadership basically saying, we're going to bring this up as early as possible, and we're going to make the conservative caucus filibuster for 3 months, which is, I mean, come on. I mean, there's a point where you just can't. You can only filibuster for so long, and you've got other priorities you've got to get to. There's things the conservative caucus need to get done as well in the Senate. So, you know, they did as much as they could on it. They had hoped the House would help as well, and they did for a long time. A lot of pressure was put on people at the end, but when you've got the leaders of the Senate and other forces at the highest levels of Missouri state government, Republicans pushing for this, unfortunately, like I said, it tended to be a foregone conclusion. But after I've thought about it, the more aggravated I get that we let it happen in the first place, because we are a supermajority Republican legislature. And Mark, this, I'm not asking for a bunch of tinfoil hat, crazy conspiracy stuff. Look around the country. I'm asking that we would have done things like Governor Ron DeSantis, America's governor, did. Greg Abbott in Texas, right? Joni Ernst up in Kim Reynolds up in Iowa. Look around the country. There were so many awesome stories coming out of red state America, and we did have some successes, but we should have done more. Why didn't we pass voter ID and electoral integrity like all these other states did? Why didn't we ban COVID vaccine passports? You know, why didn't we cut taxes, right? Why didn't we reduce regulations, start talking about right to work? Why didn't we do all these things that all these other red states did? Why are we passing a gas tax increase, a $500 million tax increase, when gas is at an all-time high? Thank you very much, Joe Biden. You know, why are we playing along to that kind of a playbook as we're coming out of a global pandemic? Well, Mark, as you've seen, Jeremy Cady and our friends at Americans for Prosperity may have something to say about this. We'll continue to have to monitor that activity. I'm not sure that the last chapter is written on the gas tax increase here in the state of Missouri. Hopefully not.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right, too. We'll keep watching that one, because I had a discussion the other day. I'm trying to remember who I had on. One of the legislators at the last minute, maybe it might have been Dave Schatz, talking about the Hancock Amendment and what role that played, and they apparently found a way to skirt it in this legislation. So maybe at the end of the day, that ends up playing a role. We're going to be watching. Yeah. I know you will too, Tim.
Hey, Mark.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one last thing I want to say. I do want to give Governor Parson credit for not succumbing to the pressure of the big hospital corporations in the state and saying he was not going to fund Medicaid. That announcement was made very late last week. I'm sure you mentioned it, and people will be talking about that, because that's going to be a big deal, Mark. There's going to be a court battle on that. We're going to see who also has the last say on that. But thank God that we have the legislature standing firm on that and Governor Parson joining them, not funding Medicaid. Because you know what, Mark? The voters didn't fund it either. They only increased access. They did not provide a funding mechanism. And the legislature said, we're not going to expand an entitlement program that is such a failure here in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, Tim, they didn't end up fixing the initiative petition either, did they?
Lots more to do.
Yeah,
that's why they may have to go back into special session later in the year.
Still lots to do. Tim Jones, thanks, my friend.
Thank you, Mark.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Well, Monday marked the 55th day since Vice President Kamala Harris has neither visited the border region or held a news conference since she's been appointed as President Biden's manager of the federal response to the border crisis. 55 days.
55 days. And we've got nothing out of her but a statement yesterday that she's going to get to the root cause of migration. And that's going to fix the problem.
Well, that's all she needs to do. Apparently, her supporters say it's not her job to actually tour the facilities or to hold press conferences. Oh. She's just going to get to the root of the problem at the White House.
Mm-hmm. I don't. Maybe she's going for some sort of record, like now 55, then 100, then 200. Then let's just see how long we can go.
You would think, though, that at a minimum, touring the facilities would be a requirement and would have been like one of the first things you did. I mean, just common sense wise. You're appointed about the border crisis. You go to the border.
There's just too much video of her being down there complaining about how atrocious it was when Trump was running the country. She knows that same video would compare and contrast if she went down there now.
Sure.
I think. Yeah.
Right
yeah.
now, it sounds like her just putting her hands over her ears and throwing a temper tantrum, though. Like, I can't hear it. I can't see it. Not happening.
The Bidens released their tax returns yesterday. The president and the first lady reported an adjusted gross income of $607,336 in 2020. Paid $157,000 plus in federal income tax, donated 5.1% of their total income to 10 charities. Back in 2019, though, they had an adjusted gross income of $985,000, and they earned $15 million in the 2 years after they left the White House. That's a very...
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. Well, they both got book deals, right?
Yeah.
After they left the White House,
yep.
And then they went on the speaking tour, mm-hmm. Through which they earned a lot of money, and... You don't hear a word out of all these progressives who want to horribly tax the rich. I don't think $30,000 to charity is a lot if you're making that kind of cash.
It's a lot of money.
But he's not getting any grief for it.
Of course not. No. It was just like, it was nothing to see here. The Bidens released their tax information. Nothing
Yay.
To see.
I literally didn't even see a headline about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, no idea that happened.
Well, apparently money does work when it comes to encouraging people to get vaccines. Last week, we talked about this vaccine lottery in Ohio, like giving out they're doing $1 million in a lottery type thing. Well, they had their highest vaccination day in 3 weeks after the announcement. 25,400 were administered on Friday, and that was just 2 days after they announced this vaccine lottery.
Everybody wants in the lottery.
I drove on over there and got mine.
They're also giving away college scholarships.
Yes, that's right. Part of
right?
it, too.
Mm-hmm. To any university in the state of Ohio.
Yes.
Full ride, full everything, books, tuition, everything. But you still have to get in the lottery to win it.
Well, did I hear that was only 18 and under?
For the college scholarships, yeah.
So that's a very narrow window. You probably have a better shot.
I would think
winning.
I would be encouraging my child maybe at that point. If I had a little more information, still, I'm
that's
not.
Way our
it
risks
wouldn't be
here.
The win, but we would. You know, that would heavily at least be into the consideration there. There's a petition calling for the NFL to retire Pat Tillman's number 40 jersey.
I hope
jersey.
They do.
I do, too. I mean, he served as an Army Ranger in Afghanistan. He was killed by friendly fire. He's only 27 years old. He joined the Army in 2002 after the September 11th attacks. I believe he played for the Cardinals, right?
Left the NFL. I believe
the NFL
he might
to
have.
Serve,
yeah. To serve and then
so
died.
There's a change.org. They're hoping that for the rest of the time you will be able to enter you know, any NFL stadium and see number 40 Tillman hanging from the rafters.
Let's hope so.
It'd be a great honor.
Let's hope they do honor that. Thank you, Denise. Mm-hmm. Coming up, we will talk to Todd Pyro, Fox and Friends first anchor. And 2A Tuesday, big court decision yesterday on gun rights. We'll talk it over at 7:37. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.